Okay, if your Bible, let's turn to Judges chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. Okay, it's actually you should read the whole of chapter 4, the whole of chapter 5. But I want to shorten my reading. So I just concentrate on what is important. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. Then we move to chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Okay, I just read chapter 4, verse 1 to 9 first. It says here, I'm going to title my sharing on the poem of Deborah. The poem of Deborah. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. That means there's a place called Deborah. Okay, very interesting. Okay, she's so famous that there's a place called Deborah under her name, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. That means they come to her for advice. They come to her because she is their judge. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, had not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera. That means I will draw the enemy to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thy honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. This is after the victory. Okay, then sent Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offer themselves, hear, O you king, give ear, O you princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the cloud also dropped waters. The mountain melted before the Lord, even that Sinai, from before the Lord God of Israel. Okay, I just give you a story. Okay, just a summary of the story. The account of Deborah is found in Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5 in the Old Testament. The Israelites had been under the control of this Canaanite king called Jabin. Okay, this Jabin has a commander, and the commander is called Sisera. And Sisera has 900 iron chariots. And they ruled over Israel for 20 years. Then there is a prophetess called Deborah. He instructed Barak to go with the tribes of Zebulun and the tribes of Naphtali. Okay? 10,000 men. But Barak, fearful to comply with such a command, say to Deborah, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. That means Barak was definitely a fearful man, but in a sense that he was willing to go unless Deborah goes with him. She said, certainly, I will go with you. But the honor, as a result of the victory, she knew there will be victory. The honor will go to her woman, for God will deliver Sisera. That means God will deliver this commander of the army of Canaanites into the hand of a lady. And it was Jael. It was Jael. Okay? So all Israel, Sisera's troop fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera himself fled to the tent of a Hebrew woman named Jael. She gave him milk to drink and covered him with a blanket in the tent. Then while he was sleeping, Jael picked up a tent pick. You know, it's a tent peg. It's a very strong peg. And he went to the guy that was sleeping, And with the hammer, he just hammered it onto his head and he killed Sisera. She killed Sisera. God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelite. And as a result of the death of this Sisera and his whole 900 chariots were destroyed, Israel becomes stronger and stronger until finally Jabin, the king of the Canaanites king, was finally destroyed. I want to concentrate on chapter 5 because it's a poem, it's a song. I want to talk about our God. You know, sometimes we talk about this thing and talk about that thing. But chapter 5 was a declaration of the greatness of our God. Chapter 5 was a song to sing about our God. You know, sometimes we see so many situations in our life and we forget about our God. So I don't want to concentrate on chapter 4. I want to concentrate on chapter 5 because I would rather magnify my God. I would rather sing about the greatness of God, the majesty of God, which He did tremendously, our God. So we can call chapter 5 the Songs of Deborah or the Poem of Deborah because it was very, very poetic. Okay, especially in the King James Version, if you go and read, it's very, very poetic. Actually, this poem begins with an acknowledgement that both Deborah and Barak sang this song. Not only Deborah, okay? It's so interesting. Barak said, "If you go with me, I will go." Okay? Then Barak also said, "If you sing for God, I will also sing with you." So he's not that bad. He's not that bad. Okay? Deborah and Barak sang this song, indicating that the song sang after the victory Yahweh has won. When they wanted to celebrate special occasion, can you remember Miriam singing a song which has a whole chapter also as a result of the crossing of the Red Sea? And also here right now, as a result of the destruction, the defeat of the king Jabin and Sisera, they sang the song. The writer shift from the narration of chapter 4 to chapter 5, which is a poetic, jubilant poetry. A very jubilant poetry. Future generations may forget the history of what happened, but usually they don't forget about the song. Can you forget some Christmas song? No, you cannot, because you remember the song. So they do it. It impacted the people of Israel at that time, and they sang a song unto their God. Okay, chapter 5 is written to rejoice in God's victory over the Canaanites. The lyrics encourage the action. And I want to encourage the action. I want to encourage the Deborah. I want to encourage the Barak. He encouraged the action of Deborah. He encouraged the action of Barak. And he says this, "Wake up. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up. Break into songs, Deborah. Arise, Barak. Take captives your captives." To the Deborah, to the Barak and these songs of our church, I ask you to wake up. I ask you to arise. I ask you to pull down the stronghold. I ask you to take captive the captives. Judges 5:4 says this, "The earth shook, the heaven poured, the cloud poured down waters." Evidently, it is so interesting. Okay, when you talk about the 900 chariots, it is a frightening thing. Am I correct? 900 chariots. But you know how God destroyed the 900 chariots? Evidently, God drew this whole 900 chariots to the river Kishon. And the rain was so heavy, the earthquake, and the water came down from the mountain and came down to river Kishon. There was thunderstorm. The victory was supernatural. And you know how they stopped the chariots? Mud. Mud. Just the mud. Immobilized the whole 900 chariots simply by mud. You look at the way God destroyed the enemy. It is just phenomenal. You know, I watched one show about King Henry IV. They were going to war against France. And the army of France was much more powerful than the army of England. But this young king still wants to go and fight. And his best man say, "Tomorrow night, it will rain. If it rain, draw them to the open field. Draw them to the open field."
And every commander ridiculed this man, right-hand man of the king. But it rained that night. It rained that night. And this right-hand man of the king said, let's draw them. You know, the soldier were wearing breastplate. Everything was metal. Armor. And when they went to the open field, the rain came and they got stuck in the mud. And all the soldiers of England have a heyday slaughtering every one of them. This is exactly the kind of story. You know, it's so easy for God to... No, we always think that, oh, how powerful, how difficult our problem is, how terrible our problem is. But they are nothing in God's sight. Chapter 5 concludes with this statement. As a result, the mud incapacitated the 900 chariots. As a result, Israel had peace for 40 years. What can we learn from Deborah's poem? Number one, let's talk about our enemies. Judges chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. And the son of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, which reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth, Hagoyim. The son of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Are you not tired of how the enemy has oppressed you? No, I'm asking you, are you not tired how much stronghold the enemy has over your household? Over your life, over your situation, your financial situation. It is ironic, but the enemy is always magnified when we are not right with God. When we turn to sin, a period of oppression always set in our life. Those periods are always called the dark days. Many people, we always think, many people thought that they can live in peace and sin. And it will be nice. I live in peace and I live in sin, and you'll be very, very nice. Okay? Like those actors and actresses. I live in peace and I live in sin, and it's such a nice, comfortable life. They forgot to read Psalms 85, verse 10. They say, mercy and truth are met together. When there is truth, there is mercy. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. When there is righteousness, there is peace. Righteousness and peace goes together. They kiss each other. It is interesting that God do not allow us to live comfortably. Okay, comfortably in peace and sin. God did not let Israel live in that way either. Judges say that what happened to the children of Israel at that time was war was in the gates. War was in the gates. 5:8, chapter 5, verse 8. Gates denotes point of access. Point of access and authority. When I say there is war in your house gate, it simply means there is conflict in the house. When I say that there's war in your house, it means the enemy has intruded into your house. Okay? And it is manifested in conflicts among the leaders of the household, maybe the husband and the wife. When I say there is war at the church gate, it means that there is conflict among leaders within the church. When you say the enemies has appeared in the city gates, it means the whole of Illyria city is at war with the enemies. But specifically in chapter 4, the enemy is Jabin, king of Canaan. There's another Jabin, okay, that Joshua killed. He's also from Hazor. So, Jabin, the main Jabin is a title like Pharaoh, like the Tsar, okay. He is definitely a very powerful guy because he has 900 chariots. It's believed that he doesn't just control one state, but he controlled a lot of Canaanite states. And they come together and they have 900 chariots. So, do not belittle our enemies. Do not belittle the power of our enemies, okay? The only thing that can destroy our lives, to tell you frankly, is sin. It's sin. So do not belittle our enemies. The Bible says that he has 900 iron chariots. Iron is something that the Israelite at that time doesn't possess. I told you last week that it is the Philistine that have discovered iron as a weaponry. Okay? So when I say that they have 900 chariots, it means that the horses has breastplate, the chariots has breastplate, the wheels are made of irons. 900 is far too many for one city. So it talks about a powerful army, a very powerful in the whole of Canaanites. The military position of Israel, and many a time our position in relation to our enemies, and that is Satan and the devil. We are always outmanned, outgunned, outpositioned. Humanly speaking, Israel's lot was helpless and hopeless, which is the status of a sinner. I mean, we look at this COVID. Okay, it tried to cause a lot of chaos in our life. Maybe the church has come to a point and say, God, forgive us. Forgive us of the sin of the church. When we sin, our station of life is always hopeless and helpless. But Israel's real problem was not military. Israel's real problem was spiritual. Many a time, your problem is not the problem itself. Many a time, your problem is your relationship, your spiritual problem with God, your Father. The real needs was not an iron smelter. Oh, if only have more money. Oh, if only have the iron smelter. Oh, if only I'm educated. Oh, if only I have this. Oh, if only have this. No. The real problem is not the iron smelter, but a living faith. Can I ask you, this time of this COVID, this Omicron, now it's called Delta Crom. The problem is not this. The problem is the living faith in Jehovah. So, in the face of this military impossible situation, God did not deliver them through an Othniel, through an Ehud, but God delivered them through a woman. A woman. Point number two. God often used very unlikely people and very unlikely sources to accomplish his plan. And for this case, it was women. Women. Okay, I don't think I want to read. Okay, it's a little bit long. So I'm not going to read the portion of scripture. Okay, can I just skip this, okay? Because my sermon is quite long. God often used unlikely people and sources to accomplish his plan. If you study chapter 5, I tell you, go and read. It's very, very beautiful. Okay? Several female characters were mentioned. There was Deborah. There was Jael. Okay, don't forget about Jael. If you have a daughter, you should call her Jael. The wives and mothers of the defeated and destroyed Canaanite army. Deborah and Barak were mentioned in Judges chapter 5 verse 12. But in Judges chapter 5 verse 7, he emphasizes Deborah. You notice I said Deborah and Barak. Okay? Okay. I did not say Barak and Deborah. Pastor Lily and Pastor Tony, or Pastor Tony and Pastor Lily. Okay? It seems definitely that Deborah has the preeminence in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. Some Bible commentator called Deborah the mother of Israel. She's really quite a woman. And I pray that our church, okay, there will be Deborah's. She's really quite an woman. And I think in the last days, in the end times, we need the woman to rise. Okay? Maggie commented, there is evidence of decline when women take the position of leadership. Wow. Very, very strong. When a woman is in leadership, it is evident of decline of a country, of a society. It is a sign of weakness and of a flabby age. The Bible deems women as the weaker sex. Many years ago, Dr. Harry Ironside tell of a woman who was preaching in a park, and Dr. Ironside was with his friend and they was walking, and his friend commented, it is a shame for a woman to go get up and preach like that. I deplore it. She should not be doing that. Henry Ironside replied, I agree with you that it is a shame, not that a woman is preaching,
But there is not a man to take the place. I pray that the men of our church, if you don't take the place, I pray that the women of our church will rise up and take the position and take the place. In Judges chapter 5, verse 3 and 7, the focus is on Deborah. The New Testament in Hebrew emphasized the role of Barak. Yes, they were both honored, but there was also another lady, Jael, another woman. You know, this lady, you know, I want you to picture yourself that you can be that Deborah. Deborah functioned as a revealer of God's will. She knows God's will. Probably she spent time with God, and she knows God's will. I'm asking you, woman, do you know God's will for this church? She is a revealer of God's will. She is a prophetess. She prophesies. I thank God our church, we allow lady to prophesize. And Barak acted as just a military leader. In addition, chapter 4, verse 8 highlights the brave action of another woman. See, another woman, a Kenite woman, Jael. To put it correctly, woman seems to stand up in Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5. Hey, don't belittle what Jael did. Tremendous lady. Judges chapter 4, verse 4 says, and now Deborah the prophetess emphasized the heroine of the day. Deborah means a bee. B-E-E. What is bee in Ilongo? Okay, whatever it is, okay. It's a bee. She's busy for the Lord. She's busy for the Lord. Her focus is not on any other thing but for the Lord. She looked at the situation of Israel and she was troubled for the 20 years. She was busy for the Lord. And her sting, like the bee, has been fatal towards the Canaanites' enemy. Science confirmed that of all the animal kingdom, the bee ranked as one of the highest in intelligence. Deborah stands out as among the wisest of all the Old Testament women. You know, I never forget, I heard this story about, in ILSB, this guy talk about Barak, in Judges chapter 4 and 5, and he belittled woman. I said, oh God, how can you put a man of God that come to the pulpit and speak contrary to the Bible? It's so clear. So woman, you have woman's power in your country because the men don't want to rise up. I be honest. The men of this country, I'm a man, so don't get angry, are weakling. So woman, you have to rise up. Jael shouldn't be ignored too because of Barak's reluctance. Deborah prophesies that the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Sisera died by the hand. The commander of the army of 900 chariots died by the hand of a woman, Jael. The honor of chapter 4 and chapter 5, okay, goes to two women, Deborah and Jael. So let's put to rest any dogmatic statement about women's leadership, which I feel is totally inappropriate. Eve sinned at the Garden of Eden in ignorance. Adam sinned out of the will. So, I hope we honor women in church clearly and biblically, not emotionally, not denominationally, not culturally. We honor them clearly and biblically. But let's learn from Barak, the judge, a leader. He wanted Deborah close by his side because he knew that this woman knew God's will. And when Deborah sang, he also said, I'll join you in the singing. Number 3. God is in control of the nations and changes their leaders according to his desires. Chapter 5 is about God. Sometimes we are filled with fear. We are filled with fear over so many things in our life. Then you wake up and say, why should I be fearful? I have this God. He is my God. I can speak to the enemy, and I know that God is with me, and I can destroy the enemy, because my God is powerful. That is what chapter 5 is about. The poems or song is directed to the Lord, the God of Israel. Interwoven within the fabric of this poem is 3-4 theme. First, God is not localized. God is not territorial, like the gods of the Canaanite. They're just localized in Canaan. God is everywhere. He's the creator of all the cosmos. Second, God's purpose will not be thwarted. If you are alive with God, your family, your life, God's purpose will not be thwarted. If God will for something to happen to your life, nobody can stop it. Now, I think all of you must congratulate Pastor Lydia and I, because Joy is pregnant. Do you know that Joy doesn't want to... I hope she's not watching. Joy doesn't want to have a baby. She never want to have a baby all these years. One day, Pastor Lily secretly praying, and I say, Joy, I will pray that you have a baby by mistakes. She had this baby by mistakes. She did not plan. No, when you have a baby, you rejoice, like you're clapping, right? She, in the apps, sigh. You know what? I'm very naughty daddy. I say, congratulations and let's celebrate. Then she say, fine. No, if God wants to have something, nobody can stop it. Huh? God grants a desire of Pastor Lily and me. Oh, God grants my desire. God grants the desire of Ben. Ben is afraid of Joy. You know, woman's power again. You come with me. We don't have baby. Yes, but secretly, he's praying that they will have a baby. And he's smiling secretly, they're not offend Joy. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, that if your things from your life is good, okay, like blessing, health, nobody can thwart God's will. You understand me? Nobody can thwart God's will. God's purpose cannot be thwarted. What is 900 chariots? We always look at 900 chariots, which is powerful. But I'm just shocked. Just the man is enough to destroy the 900 chariots. Thirdly, God uses his follower to accomplish his will. God's method is a man. God's method is a woman. So I speak to you, woman of this church. Today is your day. God uses his followers to accomplish his will through Deborah. And he is the commander who honors those who honor him. If you do things for God, God will honor you. Yes, he honors those who honor him. You know, Judges 5:4 says, Lord, you went out of Seir. You marched out of the field of Edom. The earth trembled. The heaven drops. The cloud also dropped waters. Lord is a special covenant name for Israel's deity. Our Lord is Jesus Christ. Our Lord is Jesus Christ. If you feel so powerless, so hopeless, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. His head was crowned, okay? Like Jabin's head, Caesarea's head was hammered with a peg. His head was crowned with blood. With the thorn. But he died for you. He died for you at the cross of Calvary. And he has won the victory for you. And he said that, I'm with you. I'm with you even unto the ends of the world. He did not just die. You know, the difference between the religion of the Buddhists and the Muslims, okay, I hope they don't get it, but the religion of the Christianity is our God is alive. You understand me? God, like Joel shared, nobody can pay for your sin. It must be a perfect sacrifice. The other religion is all men. They are sinners. But Jesus did not sin. God demands a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary with the perfect sacrifice. And after that, he did not just die. He resurrected. And he said, you go. I will be with you. I will be with you. Even unto the end of the world. So those that are hopeless and helpless, Christ has forgiven you of your sin. Look at the cross. Look at what Christ has done at the cross for you. So why should we be afraid? Why should we be afraid? There are seven titles given for Israel's deity. Number one was Yahweh, the Lord. Number two was Yahweh of Sinai. You know what is the meaning? Literally means He is the One. He is the One. Like Nail of Matrix. He is the One. He is not the One. He died. Jesus, God is the One of Sinai. It literally means the One of Sinai. It's an archaic title. The owner of Sinai. And He's the God of Israel. You have Jesus, your Lord. He is the Savior of your life. He is the God of our church. Notice, Yahweh is depicted as bringing rain from the southern mountains. This would be unusual because rain comes mostly from the north. But it comes to the south here. So the torrent was a supernatural intensity. There was something supernatural about this rain. In terms of intensity, in terms of timing, in terms of locality, like the plague of Egypt, like the miracles of the wilderness, manna and quails, like the crossing of the Red Sea, of the Jordan River. Yahweh is often depicted as a divine warrior. He is our divine warrior. He fights on our behalf. Jesus fights on our behalf. Please understand that. I love chapter 5. I don't want to talk about chapter 4. Because chapter 4 is like the rest of the other judges. I want to talk about my God. He's the divine warrior. He fights on our behalf. What can we see Jesus fighting on our behalf? This is manifested many a times in several characteristics. Elements of nature used in the battle. Enemy thrown into confusion. Sending a divine terror. The people that should not have fear is us. The people that should be fearful is our enemy. He sent a divine terror to them. So more often than not, our victory is not courage, strength, numbers, or weaponry, but the presence of God. The presence of God. You know, we have the presence of God in our life. We have the presence of God. The iron chariots looks formidable, but in the sight of God, it is nothing. Nothing. Your problem seems insurmountable. So difficult. In the sight of God, it's nothing. It's just, where are you? Where are you? Like God said to Adam, where are you? Where are you with God? Number four, God often calls unexpected people to step up in faith, to attempt the unexpected. I want this church, especially the woman today, God calls you to step up in faith, to attempt the unexpected. Judges 5:3 say, hear, give ear. Hear and give ear are synonymous in Hebrew. It's calling two groups of people to hear. And I say to you right now, hear. I speak to you, woman. I speak to you, Evangel Tabernacle members. Hear and give ear. It speaks to two groups of people. The city states of the king of Canaan and their leaders. The leaders of the tribes of Israel, that is for us. You are to bless the Lord. Hear and give ear. This worship is an annual worship. For the first group of people, Yahweh is addressing the enemy. Say, I love my people. I am their warrior. Judges 5:20 says, they fought from heaven. Very interesting. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Angels has always been likened to stars. The angels in their courses fought against Sisera. Thunderstorms, rains are forces in the heaven. They fought from heaven. The rain comes down from heaven. Thunderstorm rains are forces in heaven. This is not merely a poem. The feeling is that it could be truly said, heaven, the thunder, the lightning, the rain, the angels, and God in heaven was coming down against the enemy. Just simply because the children of Israel cried to God. Just simply because there is a lady that dared to stand up and she was troubled by the suffering of her people. Even though the Canaanite worship Baal as the god of the storm, it's clear that God is the creator of all storms and control all elements. We got more suffering in this or that than Yolanda. And Yolanda is more powerful than all that. It's God speaking to us. I'm speaking to you. As we slacken in our life with God. No, you must think. Everything happened for a reason. Yes, I say to you, everything that happened to you, it happened for a reason, and you must listen to what God is talking to you. Under his hand, the earth shook, the heaven poured, the water poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord. This is the second part, the second group of people that God is addressing, which is for all of us. Judges 5, 15 and 18 say this, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley for the fighting, For the division of Reuben, there was great thoughts of heart. He said to Reuben, why abodest thou among the sheepfold? They hear the bleating of the flocks. For the divisions of Reuben, there was great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in the sheets? Asher continued on the seashore, abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were people that jeopardized their life unto the death in the high places of the field. God's method has always been a man. God's method has always been a woman. The Bible said the people willingly volunteered. It is called voluntary sacrifice. When you serve in whatever department in this church, I will call it voluntary sacrifice. I pray that you are truly enlightened to this point. And trust, another translation says, the people willingly offered themselves. I pray that you offer yourself in the service of God when He wants you. Deborah, burst of generous admiration. Deborah has tremendous generous admiration towards those who did so in a time. It's a stirring call to all of us to imitate the example. Their volunteerism pleased the Lord. God took note. And God specially mentioned them. Jael was responsible for killing Sisera, the army commander of the Canaanite king. You know what God called her? Her role was so harrowed. They say, blessed, most blessed of women be Jael. Sounds like Mary. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Canaanite. Most blessed of 10 dwelling women. When Mary was willing to be the channel where Jesus gave birth, she's called most blessed. How about this Jael? How about this Jael? Because of what she did, God said, you are the most hallowed, most blessed of all women. Most blessed of all 10 dwelling women. When you serve God, don't complain. Serve in obedience. Pastor Lily and me, we are not perfect. We are leading you to service towards God. Because this world is no more the same. If you can win some soul, you must do it. This poem highlights the voluntarism of some tribes and condemns others for not being willing to come. Some tribes didn't help. And you were noted by God. Their reason, the most common reason was worldly hindrances. Worldly hindrances. Reuben sent no reinforcement to the battle.
He was not there to send support when it was badly needed. They were neighbors close by. That your neighbors close by to one another. But they did nothing. They said, I have to stay with my flock. They felt they should have stayed with their flock and apparently don't trust someone to watch over their animals. They acted as if there was no war. Dan was busy in commerce. Okay, I worked for 20 months. I understand the life of working, the working life. I know it's very, very difficult. Okay? But your life is not just for working and working and working and working. Daniel's life was not just the king to Nebuchadnezzar. Nehemiah's life was not just the king to utter success. You have to work. This Asher was busy in commerce. The folks in the tribes doesn't want to come to the battle. Asher continued in the seashore. Their fishing boat at the sea coast. And the ship of Tarshish was coming and going, and all the merchandise was coming from all parts of the world. They were so important that they couldn't afford to ignore these worldly hindrances. God's call is less important than our financial wealth. Human nature never changes. We never change. And if you think it's important, it's not important whether you are voluntary in the work of God. Judges 5:21 says this, curse you, Meroz, says the angel of the Lord. Curse you bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because you came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Frankly, I don't know who is Meroz, but Meroz signifies the amity of neutrality. I explain to you. There are occasions when not to act for God is act against God. I say again, there are occasions when not to act for God is to act against God. There are occasions when a man cannot be neutral. When the Lord calls for help, he that withholds the help is cursed. By doing so, he's helping the enemies of God. And among the enemies of God, he will fall. However, one thing I thought for sure I know is that I don't want to be an inhabitant of the city of Meroz. Today, there are multitudes of folks who are not coming to help the work of the Lord. 10,000 sons of Zebulun and Naphtali joined the war. They were at the river of Kishon. They were there. And the people willingly followed and went. It is said that Judges 5 contains the hall of fame and the hall of infamy. The hall of fame and the hall of infamy. Within the hall of infamy, there are those who merit dishonorable discharge. Then Asher, those were honorable discharged by God. Reuben was guilty of desertion. Meroz was guilty of treason. Within the hall of fame, there was those who have the bronze, you know, the army of the bronze star, Ephraim and Benjamin, Manasseh and Issachar. And there are those who have the purple heart higher, Zebulun and Naphtali. There are those who deserve the manner of the highest honor. Jael, a woman. Jael, a woman. Number 5, God is to be blessed. I want to tell you something. No matter what we do or don't do, the plan of God will come to pass one day. The enemy will be destroyed. They will bring in the millennium. The church will be raptured. Whether you do or you don't do. Okay? But there's a difference. Will you be inside there or you'll be outside there? Judges 5. Who declares, bless the Lord. This is repeated. Bless the Lord. That's what I'm telling you. We have to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Don't look at your enemy. Don't look at your problem. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It means to worship God. Why bless the Lord?
Okay, let's look at an example. He alone, God raised Deborah. He alone motivated a Barak. He alone prevailed over 900 iron chariots. Yes, Barak's faith felt filtered. Like many of us, our faith filtered. Our faith wavered. We are Barak at times. But we have the sure promises of God. Only timidly and half-heartedly we stand on them and move out in complete obedience. We just move out in complete obedience. When God says move, we move. Like Pastor Lily want to meet Jesse. I don't want to meet. God said, you go. I go. Half-hearted, but go. But I thank God I did it. When you heard God's word, you go. You don't hear the 900 chariots in your life. You need to remember that when God promises, He cannot lie. Don't look at the 900 chariots. He cannot lie. We can walk into battle against humanly impossible odds. The world will laugh at us that you lack any ability, which we are. Deborah said, today, God has given your enemies into your hand. Recently, I've been saying, devil, I speak to the air, I destroy you. You're not going to put fear into my heart. I destroy you, I destroy you, I destroy you. I'm not going to be like Kazon time when I'm always afraid, when the tiny little problem here and there that causes fear. No. See, no. No. My God is great. My God is great. David says, some boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord. We will boast in the name of the Lord. They have bowed down and fallen, but have risen and stood upright. Brothers and sisters, here's the 900 chariots of your life. Seems like a great figure, an impossible thing, a very difficult problem in your life. But the eyes of faith see an invisible God in all this. The dreaded war machine was not the chariots. But the saint considered the name of Deborah to be a far better defense. They kept the faith. The greater evidence is that they kept the faith. Why bless the Lord? Because we will remember the name of our Lord, our God. Our God in covenant, who has chosen us, whom we have chosen. This is the God, our God. The name of our God is Jehovah, and it should never be forgotten. God that is self-existent. God is independent. God is immutable. God is ever-present. God is all-feeling. God is the great I am. So why should you be afraid? Look at your God. Focus on your God this morning. Afterwards, we want to sing like the song. Sing of the greatness of God. Look into COVID-19. Look at the Omicron, the Delta Crown. Look at it and sing of our God. Just sing of the greatness of God. May God reveal to you graciously the greatness of Him. How different the end of those who trust are in God. The enemies of God, in fact, looks very powerful because they started in verse 1 to verse 4. But an almighty arm uplift them, and they joyfully stand upright. The victory of Jesus is the inheritance of His people. The victory of Jesus is the inheritance of His people. The world, death, Satan's sin shall be trampled beneath the feet of the champion of faith, while those who rely on the arm of flesh shall be ashamed. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. Don't look at things differently. Look at things differently. Look at things in the eye of faith. You know, we started last 4 months well. Okay, but this Omicron is threatening. So are we going to let him continue? No. We are not going to. We're going to pray to our great God. Amen? Okay, can the musician come? We sing a song.